This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Yes, and here in the we're into the final hour of the show. Now, the Burnet Institute are very well known as medical research institute in this town. They're very good friends to Joy as well, and many people from there have spoken on my shows in the past, and it's now time to catch up with them yet again. This time because they're looking for some volunteers, and to tell us all about it, we've got Dr. Anna Herps on the line. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm pretty good. Now, tell us about this study that you're conducting.
So the study we're doing is looking at whether HIV prematurely ages the immune system. So we know as we age, our immune system declines and we're at increased risk of infections. But also as we age, we see an increase in what we think of as age-related diseases, such as cardiovascular disease and stroke and cancer and dementia. And we know these diseases are associated with an ageing or a failing immune system, but we don't really understand why or how this happens. What we're seeing with HIV is that we're seeing an increased prevalence of these kind of age-related diseases amongst HIV-positive people, and we see that they develop these diseases at a much younger age.
So there's some kind of ageing process going on,
triggered by the virus. A lot of the damage that happens to our immune system is due to a lifetime of fighting infections. So we think that this is just happening in a very concentrated, sort of short space of time with HIV, and that HIV might be sort of prematurely ageing the immune system and leaving HIV-positive people at an increased risk of these age-associated diseases like cardiovascular disease and dementia and stroke.
What sort of percentage of increase in risk are we talking about here? Is it a doubling of the risk, or
In certain populations, it can be sort of 2 to 3 times increased. Obviously, that depends on other factors. I mean, we know there's lots of things that increase the prevalence of cardiovascular disease, such as smoking and things like that. Sometimes the HIV positive population can have an increased prevalence of things like smoking as well. But even controlling for those factors, there's certainly at least a doubling of risk of cardiovascular disease in HIV positive people. And we also see things like dementia that happen in the later stages of HIV as well, but we don't really understand how these things eventuate and what causes them. So that's what we're looking to understand.
Okay. Now, you're looking at something called the innate immune system, which you describe as the most primitive part of the immune system. What do you mean by the innate immune system for the layperson?
So there's roughly two arms of the immune system. One's called the adaptive and one's called the innate. And the innate immune system, as you said, is sort of our most primitive arm, and it's our first line of defence against invading viruses and bacteria. It happens very rapidly, and it's sort of targeted towards sort of these conserved sort of residues within different pathogens. The other arm of the immune system is the adaptive immune system, and this is our immune system that's tailored specifically to different diseases or different pathogens, and that develops once we've seen the pathogen, whereas the innate immune system doesn't have to have seen the invading bacteria before. It's able to sort of mount a defence on its own.
Right, so it's sort of a more of a blunderbuss kind of reaction.
Exactly, and it gives time for the adaptive immune system to get itself sorted and do what it needs to do, which takes a little bit longer. So the two arms work together, but the innate immune system is probably less well understood in some aspects rather as compared to the adaptive immune system. So that's the arm that we're looking at in this particular study.
Right. Now, you actually want to look at people who are not HIV positive to see how the normal immune system works, yeah?
Yeah, so we're actually recruiting two different cohorts at the moment. We've had a really good response from our young HIV negative people. What we're wanting to do is we're wanting to look at a number of markers of immune age within younger and older people. Uh-huh. I hesitate to use the words young and old because I do tend to offend certain people here. But we're wanting to look at these markers in young and aged people. HIV negative, and then we're wanting to look at those markers again within our HIV right. positive population.
I think you're fairly safe with the word senior.
I don't like to use senior. Older, I go with older.
Older. Well, I've just got my older card, so.
Oh, excellent.
You can call me what you like, really. But you're actually looking for people aged, you're looking for men aged over 65.
Yes. So, as I said, we've had a great response from the young population. What we're looking for now is men aged over 65 who are relatively healthy, not had any sort of major illness or vaccination in the last sort of 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want people who are taking sort of anti-inflammatory medication. This includes aspirin and things like that, because that can sort of skew our results. And all we're needing is a one-off blood donation of 20 mils, which is about a tablespoon of blood, and just completing a short questionnaire on general health. It takes about 15 minutes. We are also keen to recruit HIV-positive men who are not taking anti-HIV drugs as well.
At any particular age or just...?
Preferably under 50.
Under 50.
For the HIV-positive men, yeah.
Right. So over 65 for the HIV-negative
yes.
men and in general good health.
Yes.
And under 50 for HIV-positive men but not currently taking anti-HIV medication.
Yes.
Right. And all they have to do is come along and give you a tablespoon of blood.
Yep, that's it. And we even give you a chocolate bar. Thank you for your donation. It takes about 15 minutes all up, so it's quite quick.
Yeah. Now, you're here in the centre of Melbourne, so it'd be fairly easy for people to get to you in order to...
Yeah, just next to the Alfred Hospital. So.
Yeah. Mm. So how do people go about getting in touch with you and volunteering?
Well, if they're keen, they can give us a call, 9282... 2271, or else we also have an email address that you can shoot an email through to with your contact details, and that address is medical research, which is all one word,
mm-hmm.
at Burnett, Burnett, .edu.au.
And that's and you can also go and find out more about the study on the Burnett website, which is burnett.edu.au.
That's the one, yep.
So how soon do you need these people?
Oh, ASAP would be great. We're recruiting at the moment and we're keen to take people whenever they're available. We generally take blood samples in the mornings, but any time from now is great.
Okay, so if you're a man, you're aged over 65, you are HIV negative and in general good health,
mm-hmm.
give them a call down at the Burnett Institute, 9282 2271, or email them medicalresearch@burnett.edu.au. Don't forget it's only one T on the end of Burnett.
Yes.
Because you can get caught out with that one. Or you can find out more at burnett.edu.au. Anna, thank you very much for joining us this morning, and let's hope we can scare a few people up for you.
Thank you very much for your help, Doug.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.